their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Palm Coast listens at 91.9. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we face the issues each and every day. Let me simply say today we're facing the issue that I'm simply calling the Christian's duty to vote. The Christian's duty to vote. I think multitudes of Christians today do not see it as a duty and responsibility, but just simply look at it as, well, I will if I want to, or if I don't want to, I don't have to. This is the reason we had about 40 million Christians in 2020 that did not vote in the 2020 election. And I'm told there's somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 25 million today that are sitting on their hands and saying they don't intend to vote. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to introduce our guest today in just a moment. We're going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue, we'll introduce the guest. We're going to be talking about the six amendments. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six amendments that's proposed on the Florida ballot for the amending our Constitution in the state of Florida. Let me just simply say this. Our federal Constitution, since its inauguration, has been amended 27 times. Our state of Florida Constitution has been amended 127 times since 1973. It's like Swiss cheese. When we have the thugs that want to get something inculcated as a law, rather than going through the legislative process, they go through the paying of millions of dollars to get the petition signed to put it on the in our Constitution as the Constitution of the state of Florida. Once that's done, it does not come off. It cannot be changed. You'd have to have a 61% or better vote in the state of Florida to change it, modify it, or remove it. And listen, that's not happened with 127 amendments. Once they go on, they're there. It's a lifetime amendment, unless there's somebody that comes along with deep pockets to have it changed in the same fashion. So lest I forget it, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. After our brief monologue and introduction of our guest today, we're going to be talking about the amendments. Love to hear from you. How are you going to vote? Have you been confused about those six amendments and what they really say and what they say? What is said on the surface and what's the underpinning of those proposed amendments on our Constitution for the state of Florida? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, made a profound statement that I believe is applicable even today. Many times people look at the Bible and say, well, that's what Jesus said to his disciples, but it doesn't apply to me. In the statement to his disciples in John 8:31-32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, we might think there's freedom, but outside the Word of God, we do not have freedom. We're incarcerated with sin, self, and Satan outside of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes lives. It's the Word of God that sets us free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Then in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God, where Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that according to Psalms 117:2, the truth of the Word of God endures forever. That's something we can depend on. But listen, we're in a society today, goes back to the Orwellian time. That was when George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, published in 1947, 48, and 49, a dystopian novel entitled 1984. He was projecting what America would be like in 1984. Many of the things that he said have come about. He was a little off on his time frame. We're seeing them today more than in 1984. But one of those things he said was, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's taking place today. There's a disdain for truth. There's a revulsion for truth. There's a rejection of truth today. I don't care if you're looking at it from a theological, doctrinal, biblical issue, you're looking at it from a political, social, economic issue, whatever stance you take, if it is truth, you're going to have those that will disagree. Many times there's the mindset somehow, some way that we can bifurcate truth. I've said a half-truth is a whole lie. And we see that taking place with Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and others in the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic move today that's trying to undermine and destroy. They wanted to have the global reset, destroying American culture, destroying the morals, values, and ethics. It was Tony Perkins just about a year ago said this administration, speaking of the Harris-Biden administration, has done more to destroy faith, family, and our freedom than all presidents combined in America. That's a pretty powerful statement. Former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint warns that America's decline is based on the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint says. Listen, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, truth matters, regardless of who might reject it. I'm looking at a headline that says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. Therein lies the problem. No absolute truth. That's a wishy-washy position that will let everybody have what they call their truth. In fact, this article states that 55% of the millennials, that's 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person has their own version of truth. There's no such thing as a different version of truth. There's only one truth. In fact, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's what we do each and every day on this broadcast. We seek the truth, we learn the truth, we tell the truth, defend the truth even to death. There are a lot of people that get a little upset when you speak truth. In fact, we're in a society today where if you speak truth, they say that that's hateful, that's anger, that's bad, that's wicked, it's somehow, some way too crass. Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump stands on the truth, and when he stands on the truth, folks get angry. The socialist Marxist left want to then accuse him of not knowing what he's talking about. For example, if I can just digress from where I'm headed for a moment, where Donald Trump and Kamala Harris is in what was called a debate, and Donald Trump mentions something about Springfield, Ohio, where they are eating pets, and they laughed at him. In fact, the moderators claimed that they had done a fact check, and he was wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. In Springfield, Ohio, the Haitians that have come in were not necessarily eating pets. That is a form of worship, of voodooism and witchcraft that they practice. They do so by draining the blood out of an animal, then taking the flesh and cooking the flesh, eating the flesh and using the bones to perform the witchcraft and voodoo on their enemies as they see it. So it was a fact that now is still being laughed at and mocked at by Communist Network News and others. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the flag, Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the Six Amendments, I want us to just do a little cursory overview of what America would be like if Kamala Harris and Tim Walz goes into office. I think it's needful to know. I'm confident that multitudes listening to this broadcast today are wondering how you should vote, what you should analyze, how you should ascertain, what makes the decision on the vote. Ladies and gentlemen, for a Christian, for a believer, we have no choice but to vote for that individual that's more closely aligned with the Word of God. I understand the promulgators of Kamala Harris for president are saying that she's a Christian. In fact, I just heard recently that there's a group, about 200,000 people across America, called the Evangelicals for Kamala, that say that Kamala Harris is a Christian. In fact, they say that she's a Baptist. Well, if she is, I don't have any doubts about it, ladies and gentlemen, no qualms. If you're going to stand for the murder by way of abortion, if you're going to stand for the butchering of healthy body parts, if you're going to stand for the non-closure of our border and simply an open America, you have a problem with the Word of God, and the written, revealed, inspired, inerrant Word is the only thing that we have as our guidebook today that we need to go by to decide what we should do. But listen, in about 20 days, hear me, about 20 days, we the people will determine the destiny of America. We will determine what kind of America we want for the future. My question is to you today, do you want to see America continue as a constitutional republic with a representative form of government, or do you want to see a banana republic where thugs with badges and dictators rule our nation? That's the choice. There's no in-between. There's no partial in-between status. It's either one or the other. Not part, not all, but the total. We'll either have a constitutional republic with a representative form of government or a banana republic with thuggery at the helm. And if Kamala Harris and Tim Walz goes in, that's exactly what we'll have in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today a very special couple, friends, love the Lord, James and Lori Crunden. James and Lori, thank you for being here today. It's our delight to have you
with
us.
It's a privilege. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr.
Thank
God bless you for coming. James and Lori have the privilege of serving with the Duval County organization that is called, he is the faith leader of Citizens Defending Freedom. I get a tongue twister when I try to remember that. Citizens Defending Freedom. James and Lori Crunden, the faith leaders in the organization for Duval County, and I'm thankful that they're able to be with us today. Let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Jim, before we talk about the Six Amendments, let's talk in broad brush what it would be like in America if our people, we the people, put Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in office. What is your view on that? What is your fear on that? What would be the end results if that is the vote in America?
That's a great question, Dr. Youngblood. Last night, Lori and I began a study, and it was in Deuteronomy. And as you know better than I do, Deuteronomy has a lot of lessons and a lot of teaching in it. But the most profound one for us in our current situation, we took from Deuteronomy the choice of life or death. Mm-hmm. And it sort of mirrors kind of the verbiage in 2 Chronicles, I think it's 7:14.
Correct.
If my people will humble themselves and seek my face and pray, then I will heal their land. Well, in Deuteronomy, they've lost it. They've lost it. They're a train off the tracks. It's a soup sandwich. Everything's upside down, and they're in trouble, and they've turned their backs on the Lord, and worse. Mm-hmm. And in Deuteronomy, they've done that. And we can read, and you can look at its graphic. I mean, what's going to happen to the people? At some point, it goes on to say that the children will be eaten by their parents kind of thing. I mean, it's horrific, the picture that it paints in Deuteronomy. But there's hope. There's hope. And the hope is that we pray, that we fast, that we humbly fall on our knees and realize who our Lord and Savior is, and do everything and anything within our power. And you and I agree on the fact that the our pastors, our preachers, our priests should be standing up as you are, and sounding the alarm and sending out the truth.
Well, Jim, I don't use myself as a in a prideful sense as to what we're doing. I simply have a passion for standing on the truth, for warning. In fact, when we look at Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 1 through 10 in particular, God tells Ezekiel to be the watchman on the wall and to warn of danger coming. And then in the 10th verse, it says, how should we then live? If we do this, this, and this, how should we then live? God spoke very, very clearly to Ezekiel that if he fails to warn the people, the blood will be on his head. If he warns them, the blood and the responsibility is on the head of the people. So as we take this stand every day on this broadcast, we are saying, warning, warning, danger ahead, warning, warning, danger ahead. I had a lady not too long ago called and said, why do you want to frighten people every day on the broadcast? Why do you want to scare us? I said, ma'am, I pray that I can scare you enough to get you to do what God would have us to do. But it's not designed to frighten. It's designed to warn and to let us know what is taking place in America. What do you see as the potential for morals and ethics and values from a Trump administration versus a Kamala Harris administration? Will there be a difference? As I turn to the Communist Network News, they talk about if Trump goes in, he'll never leave office. He'll be a dictator. In fact, I just discovered, according to the statistics, 57% of the elitist Democrats say that even if Trump is elected, they will not certify him to be seated as president. So with that being said, it's a point of demarcation. It's a line drawn in the sand with what we see taking place. So is there a difference? I have had those on some of the networks, and I roll the network. I love to listen to news, the different aspects of it. I like to see that, and it's laughable when they say, we're going to break it down for you. In other words, you don't understand it, so we're going to tell you how to inculcate it in your
what
thinking.
What to think.
Yeah, what to think. But with that being said, so many of the networks today are coming up with all kinds of caveats as to why we should not vote for Trump. Now, from a Christian perspective, James, and a pastor's perspective, I know, go back in 2016, and the same is true today, some Christians, some pastors say, well, how can you vote for Donald Trump? How can you recommend Trump when he has such a crass voice, when he has some moral questions in his background? And my answer, Jim, and I'd love to hear your take on it, I said, we're not voting for Jesus to be president.
Right.
We're voting for a man with a spine
100%.
To stand for our nation.
100%.
Speak to that for a moment. Tell our listeners where you stand and what we ought to do.
I think from a biblical perspective, and exactly as you said, and you and I may not want to go have a cup of coffee with him. He might not be one of our buddies. You know, they say, show me your friends, I'll show you your future kind of thing. He may not be the kind of person that you'd want to have a long, deep conversation. But I think the Lord is as anointed him and appointed him, and I think little by little he's starting, especially after the first attempt on his life, to realize that that he is being used and he is being called upon. Yes, he does have a foul tongue, and he's got some skeletons in the closet. As there's no perfect person out there, but biblically speaking, who can we look at in the Bible and say, wow, Solomon was terrific, David was unbelievable? How many of the players, that the actors, the great minds and the great thinkers in the Bible were completely on board from soup to nuts, beginning to end? There's only a few of the prophets, right? One of the prophets was taken directly to heaven. Mm-hmm. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
That's right.
It was taken. But they're imperfect people being used by a perfect Lord and Savior.
Absolutely.
The challenge is to, as firm believers and obviously on fire for the Lord, to don't be, if we can, doom and gloom or the shock value of it, but to wake them up. We joked before we went on the air about Galatia. Oh, Galatia, who has bewitched you? Because a lot of people, they don't want to know. They're wearing blinders. And isn't it in Ephesians 5:14, it says, wake up, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. It's not going to hurt, I promise. As you start to realize, yep, we're in bad, bad trouble. Is there an answer? You bet there's an answer, and his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And We can do this, but as Christians, as you take that first, Lori, I'm doing too much talking.
I love it. She
is my biggest advocate, my biggest cheerleader, and if I ever get doom and gloom, she'll, you know, verbally, you know, and sometimes physically, wake up kind of thing. Wait, hold on a minute, Mr. Carey. We have our little ministry, and actually just had our 15-year anniversary of the Carey Cross, and 31 years of being married. It'll be 32 years this April 24th.
Amen. I like that.
But I would tell you that it's very, very difficult, and our circle of friends, since the plague hit, which biblical proportions, it separated people. People got sucked in by a government that, you know, we talk about information and misinformation. Boy, there was some of it being dealt.
Tons of it.
And the average radio listener right now, fall in love again with the Lord. If you have any doubt, if you have fears, or if you have some uncertainty about His firmness and the rock that He is to stand on, the broadest shoulders, the widest arms, and the biggest heart. He loves you, and He's right there for you. He's Amen. Right there for you to ask into your life. And He doesn't say, no, I don't want you anymore.
That's right.
He does.
I like
that.
You made the statement, I think, about the song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand.
Exactly.
All underground is sinking sand. But it's a good thought.
Lori's friend, her influence, and she's real active in all sorts of it, and she doesn't have any filter on as far as she doesn't want to be repelling people or turning people off to it, but she doesn't apologize for her
faith.
Truth
turns a lot of folks off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lori, that's a good thought. Let me bring you into the conversation. From a Christian woman's perspective, there's a lot of conversation out there now that Kamala Harris has the white female, the black female, all voting for Kamala. That's the thought, the idea. That's what's been promulgated. Why is that wrong? What is that you would like for the Christian ladies to understand today about this election from a woman's perspective? What would you say to them?
Well, I believe that, you know, Kamala she's been corrupt from the minute she was born, probably. I don't know about that, but you know, she just, all of her beliefs and all of her views and values are rooted in, it's demonic. I mean, it really is demonic. She's has no regard for, abortion. She is all for abortion, so she has no regard for life. I think she's all about sexualizing our children. Mm-hmm. I think she's all about the, the mutilation of our children. Mm-hmm. They're all about that agenda. That is frightening. And you asked a question earlier about the difference between a Harris administration and that is a frightening thought. And I think whoever wins, I think there's going to be an uprising.
Absolutely.
I really think
we're on a fast track for it.
And I think if Harris wins, it will be a little bit more of a controlled uprising. Mm-hmm. But if Trump wins, I think it's going to be violent.
It's headed that direction.
Mm-hmm.
On the fast track for that. As you're speaking, I'm looking at a quote that I used in my message from the pulpit yesterday. Quote from Donald Trump. Trump says, "Our enemies are waging war on freedom and faith, waging war on science and religion, on history and tradition, on law and democracy, on family, on our children, and on America itself." End quote. I don't think you could have stated any more succinctly than that. And I think that's what we need to recognize, that we have the battle for the destiny of America as a result of that. I'm thankful that we have the privilege of having the opportunity to vote. See, many Christians, I think, Jim and Laurie, many Christians think that somehow, some way, they don't need to vote, that they can just wait it out. Let me just take a few moments and give a little blurb in relationship to Kamala Harris, and then we're going to ask you some thoughts about it. If Harris is president of the United States of America, Harris will force abortion on demand, with tax money paying for that, and the number murder of babies will be unlimited in America. Now, the Harris-Trump debate, something was said about Tim Walz and his stand for abortion up to and including the birth of the child. And Kamala Harris said no. The moderators, which were not moderating, they were joining in the debate against Trump. The moderators said, fact check, that was not true. Well, anybody that's listening, if it is still up and they've not watched it, can go to the Minnesota Health Department website. Under the Tim Harris governorship in Minnesota, they had 9 fumbled out of all of the abortions, had 9 that failed. Therefore, there were 9 live births. They murdered all 9 of those human beings after that baby came out of the birth canal and was a live, breathing human being. They had recent news. There was 9 when I did the research. The recent news, one of the news media, I believe it was Fox, said there was 5. But I counter that based on what I read myself. There were 9. And yet there's a claim that he would not do that. They would not do that. But under a Kamala Harris, Tim Walz administration, we will find murder by way of abortion unlimited. And yet for anybody to say that she is a believer in any spectrum of the word, God's word says in Exodus 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. And that baby in the womb is a separate human being. God talking about Jeremiah said that he knew him and called him while he was still in the mother's womb. Psalms 139, verses 5 and following, talks about we're created as fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yep.
And yet a person claiming, well, I'm a Christian, I love God, and yet they're going to murder a baby in the womb, that is antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth. This is the reason I challenge our listeners today to understand what is in view with this election. What are we voting on? We're not just voting for a personality. We're not just voting for an individual. And many say, well, I'm going to vote because she'll be the first black woman to be president. That is a laughable, demonic statement. That is simply a fraud perpetrated on the public. We're voting for a person that will uphold our morals, uphold our values, uphold our constitutional liberties, uphold the right to keep and bear arms, uphold our borders and secure them. Yeah. In fact, the major promulgating responsibility of a president, according to Section 2 of our Constitution, is to protect our borders and to protect the citizens in the United States of America. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
Yes. I'm going to tell you, she's a liar from the pits of hell, excuse my language, and the young lady that just said She was a liar from the beginning of her birth. She was demonized from the beginning of her birth. I think her father, he was a Marxist.
He was a Marxist professor. He was a Marxist professor, and you can go back and look at the history of the entire family. They come out of Marxism, socialism, communism, with a total saturation of their belief system. And when Kamala, listen, we need to believe what she says. When she says, my values have not changed, you must ask the question, what are her values? Yeah. And when you look at her values, that means she still stands for the Marxism, communism, socialism mantra and mindset, and that's exactly where she would take America if the voters vote for her to go into office, or contrary to our votes, if the election is stolen and she goes into office. We've had it as a constitutional republic. So
yes.
Kenneth, from the standpoint of your perspective of what you just said, talk for a second or two, but I'll let you go, to our listeners.
Okay.
What would you recommend our listeners do? What do you think our listeners need to do? How should they vote from your perspective?
They better vote for Trump. Like I told you before, I'm in the 70s. And I grew up in Jim Crow and all that. But we've had some, especially Reagan and Trump, they were, pro-American. And if they vote for Kamala Harris, especially like, supposed to be Christians vote for her, they are just as dumb as rocks.
Well, Kenneth, let me put you on the spot for more. We've got about 40 seconds before this portion of our broadcast is over. We'll go into our break for the news. But you have expressed before on the air that you're a 70-year-old black man. Talk to our black listeners today as to whether or not they need to believe Kamala's lie, that black people need to vote for her, and if you don't, you're not really black, as Joe Biden said on one occasion. Got about 30 seconds. Speak to that quickly for us before we let you go.
I tell you what, every black listener, They don't believe this woman. The woman says she will say anything to get elected. And she's been Hispanic, black, any kind of religion, person. She's that, oh, I'm a part of you too. I'm a part of this.
And Kenneth, you're exactly right. Our time is up for this portion, but thank you so much for your call. And it's our prayer today that people will hear and heed and vote in the right direction to save our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
WTRJ, Orange Park.